Welcome back to the American Revolution Podcast, Episode 19, The Capture of Fort Ticonderoga. When last we spoke, we talked about the Second Continental Congress and its role as the interim government for the United States through the early parts of the war. Late in the war, we'll develop the Articles of Confederation, and the Congress of the Confederation will then take over as the primary government until we get to the election of George Washington. But that's fast-forwarding our story a little bit. So as I had said, the Second Continental Congress met in Philadelphia for the second time on May 10, 1775. It's that same day in upstate New York that we will see another pivotal event take place in the early part of the Revolution. In the far-flung reaches of upstate New York along the Hudson River, there is a fort. We know it today as Fort Ticonderoga. The fort itself was built in 1755 to 1757. It is a French-built fort, and it served time during the French and Indian War. Originally named Fort Carillon, it was a fort used to protect against the British invasions north into Canada. The fort itself sits at a portage between Lake George and Lake Champlain at the mouth of the Lachute River. It's a very formidable fort, and there will be two attempts to take the fort by the British. The first will end in disaster. They will lose many men and some of the best field commanders that they had in the American colonies at the time. The second attempt will meet with success, and they'll gain the fort in 1759. They decide to rename the fort Fort Ticonderoga, which is an Iroquois word that means the joining of the waters, or the joining of the waterways. The war will finish out, and the British will still control Fort Ticonderoga. As we fast forward to April 1775, we are now where we stand in our storyline, with the victories at Lexington and Concord have pushed the British back to Boston, where they are surrounded on all sides of the land by Patriot militia. Patriot militia are trying to lay siege to the city. Now, there's a little bit of a flaw in their plan. When laying siege to a city, you usually have to cut off all access to that city. The Patriots control all the land routes to Boston, but they don't control the waterways. That is controlled by the British Navy. Now, unfortunately for the Patriots, they do not have enough guns to make the British Navy second guess about hanging out in the waters around Boston. So they're able to stay there, and they're protecting the city pretty well because the Patriots can't venture too close, otherwise they'll be in range of the big guns of the British men of war. So what do we do? Well, this is where we're going to run into two of the most dynamic personalities that we will ever have in the American Revolution. Both men have the same idea. Both men are aware of a fort upstate that has a limited guard posted, but it will have the heavy guns because it is, well, a rather large fort. The first of which is Benedict Arnold. And yes, I will get into a more in-depth study of one of the greatest generals that the American army will ever see, and also one of the greatest traitors that the American nation will ever see. But for now, he's just a colonel in the Connecticut militia. Arnold goes to the Connecticut Assembly and offers up the idea that if he takes his militia north into upstate New York, he can take the fort, in which case they will gain much-needed supplies and ammunition. The Connecticut Assembly is a big fan. Arnold begins to march his men north. It's actually at this point we're going to run into our second big personality. Now this personality is, well, we can say he's egocentric and a bit of a self-promoter, which he is. His legend has grown larger than his actions, and that's Ethan Allen. Ethan Allen, we're going to get more in-depth with next week. I'm actually going to do a character study because this is actually the only event, major event, I should say, that Ethan Allen is involved in. So Ethan Allen, leader of those Green Mountain Boys in the Green Mountains of what is present-day Vermont, also has the same idea that capturing Fort Ticonderoga, one of the largest forts that the British control in this area of the country, is actually a good idea and is a way to really gain some self-recognition. So Arnold and Allen are inevitably on a collision course. So we've got ourselves in May 1775, with two very egotistical men at the head of two militia groups on their way to the same place to do the exact same thing, capture a fort. Gee, I wonder what could go wrong. Well, Arnold actually catches wind that Ethan Allen is on his way, and fearing that Allen will get there and be able to take the fort before Arnold can get there and claim some glory for himself, actually rides ahead of his own militia. Sadly, this isn't actually out of character for Arnold. The man is a well-known self-promoter, and he has to be where the action is because, well, as the old saying goes, fame and fortune wait for no one. Arnold will actually run into the Green Mountain Boys about 20 miles from the fort, and immediately the issues begin. You see, Arnold and Allen were both considered militia colonels. They hold the same rank. Now, because the Connecticut Assembly is a governing body, and the orders were given to Arnold from them, I would say, technically, Arnold has the lead on this, but they have no control over upstate New York, so it begins to be a moral gray area. Ethan Allen took his orders from no one. He just took it upon himself to march his militia into upstate New York to try and capture the fort. Orders are very irrelevant to this fight because both men were so egotistical that they were trying to capture early glory for themselves. So now we're in this sticky wicket of who's actually in charge of this whole thing. Well, it actually doesn't really matter. As I said, both men shared the same rank, and it didn't really matter about that. The fact of the matter was that the overwhelming force that was making the assault on Fort Ticonderoga was made up of Green Mountain Boys. So the fact that the Green Mountain Boys would serve Ethan Allen and Ethan Allen only gave Arnold a distinct disadvantage. And I think Arnold realizes that because Arnold actually comes to an agreement with Allen that he's going to come along in a support capacity and the men will share command of the operation, which Allen agrees to, and they go off and they make their assault on the fort. The attack will come in the very early morning of May 10, 1775. There's about a 50-man garrison occupying the fort, and they catch the British completely unaware. Now, for the average American that knows their history, they know about the capture of Fort Ticonderoga. But the version of history that they probably know is the version of history as told by Ethan Allen. You see, there's that old saying of the victors write history. Well, in this case, the victor was a chatty man from Vermont. Now, according to Allen, the sentry that was on guard was sleeping, which I believe. If you think about it from the British mindset, who really thinks that an American army is going to march into upstate New York to capture a fort with little strategic relevancy? All the action's over in Massachusetts. So the awoken sentry is surprised to see that there's American militia surrounding the fort. This is the part that gets very shaky and probably more than a little bit self-promoting. You see, Allen arrives at the entrance of the fort, and he calls out, "Come out, you old rat!" He's actually referring to Captain de la Place, the commander of the garrison. Allen continues to spin his tail as he tells that the captain came to the door holding his breeches. Allen would demand that the fort be turned over to him. When the good captain asked by whose authority, Allen would respond, "In the name of the great Jehovah and the Continental Congress." And then de la Place, realizing that the fort was unattainable and that the great Jehovah was on their side, well, he handed over the fort. Now, this is where I have a little bit of a questionable belief in all this, and it's not for any short reason, but what British officer answers a surrender notice wearing no pants? Now, in my personal opinion, I believe that the good captain took the, a minute and 10 seconds to kindly put on a jacket and some pants, and then answered Allen's call. Allen is just doing this to make the British look like fools, which I think is unnecessary because, well, let's face it, you captured one of the most formidable forts in the northern part of the colonies, so you should, relish that fact. The part that I see as self-promoting is, well, he goes on to say, I claim this fort in the name of the Great Jehovah and the Continental Congress. Now, for those who are unaware of their religion, the Great Jehovah refers to just referring to God. So that he kindly captured the fort in the name of God, well, that's just a polite homage to the Almighty Creator. But the fact that Allen says that he does it also in the name of the Continental Congress is a real head-scratcher. For those that were paying attention last week and may have taken some notes, we discussed that, the Continental Congress technically hasn't met for another 9 hours yet. So before the Second Continental Congress already meets, Allen is claiming things in their name? No. What happens is he has to sign a report, in which case he said, I captured the fort and I said this. And it's just a way to kind of up his stock. Like, oh, well, you know, I had done this and I did it in the name of you guys because I realized that you are the governing, you know, power in the colonies. I do apologize for the little bit of ranting I was doing. Allen really gets my blood pressure going. You see, Ethan Allen to me is one of those guys that would self-promote himself with words, but never actually had the actions to back it up. So it gets me a little, you know, going. What actually happened? Well, the Green Mountain Boys surrounded the fort. They surprise the sentry or sentries that are on duty, probably sleeping. I mean, it was upstate New York. There is little action. So they surprise them while they're sleeping. Allen demands to see the captain. The captain kindly dresses himself and meets with the commander of the militia that has just caught him unaware and surrounded his fort. Then Ethan Allen demands that the fort be surrendered, realizing that he's outnumbered and that the Americans have control of the fort, kindly says, I will gladly yield the fort to you, and the British will go on their way. I think that all the self-promoting for Allen is a little unnecessary, but, you know, it is how it is. So where's Benedict Arnold in all of this? Well, Benedict Arnold is watching on in horror as the Green Mountain Boys had decided to ransack the fort and get drunk. All that matters is that the Americans now control Fort Ticonderoga. Known as the Gibraltar of the West, its story is far from over. We're going to continue to talk more in depth about the history of Fort Ticonderoga and its role in the American Revolution as we come across those events in our timeline. But for now, we're going to leave Fort Ticonderoga in the hands of the Patriots. Now, after the fort was taken, Ethan Allen will actually send off a note to the Continental Congress informing them of his great victory, how his Green Mountain Boys captured the fort and did it in the name of the Second Continental Congress. What's not there is Benedict Arnold's name anywhere. According to Allen, he did it alone with his militia, and Benedict Arnold had no hand in it whatsoever. And unfortunately, that seems to be the common idea when talking about the capture of Fort Ticonderoga. We don't mention Benedict Arnold. And that's considered the first slight against Arnold that's going to lead him to become a traitor. Unfortunately for the history books, we remember Arnold for his negatives. We don't remember him for his positives. And that's something that needs to be changed. But that's going to be a story for another day. As for this week's story, I think that's where we're going to leave it off. Now, next week, I plan to do a character study on the man that has risen my blood pressure just a couple of points, and that's Ethan Allen. I'm going to talk about the man, his life, and try and sort through his tall tales, or lies. Yeah, lies sounds better. Now, before I end this week, I just want to make a slight amendment to the policy I had spoken about when I first started doing the podcast. I had said I would try and do a book recommendation every single week. Now, for this part of the timeline, it's becoming very difficult because we're talking very small potato type topics, like the capture of Fort Ticonderoga. It was over in a matter of minutes. There isn't large volume books devoted to it. It's really just a footnote when talking about the overall look at the American Revolution. I like talking about it because it leads me into introducing Benedict Arnold, who for the early part of the war is a great hero, and Ethan Allen, who has become a well-known name even though he's done very little in the American Revolution. So when I get to larger, more expansive topics, I'm gladly going to recommend all the books that I have read and books that are on my list to read that pertain to the subject at hand. I also want to remind people that we do have a Facebook page. It's the American Revolution Podcast Facebook. I would like anyone who has questions to please post them there. Or if you just want to look around, every week I post some pictures that are pertaining to a topic that we've discussed. I'm a little backlogged because I have to catch up a little bit, but I will be posting a bunch of photos from a recent trip I took to Philadelphia looking at Carpenter's Hall and Independence Hall and places like that. I'd also like to ask for one quick reminder that I do this out of the goodness of my heart. I don't get paid for it, and nor do I ever ask for money from my audience. I'm very aware that I can handle this on my own. I just want to know that there are loyal listeners out there. So if you don't mind, go to the iTunes store. And when you actually look at the podcast, you have a place where you can put ratings and reviews. And if you wouldn't mind just placing a 5-star rating in there, it actually boosts my numbers so that when people look for something like history or American Revolution or any keywords, my podcast will actually come up. So that's it for me this week. I'll see everyone next week. Have a great week. And as always, keep your powder dry.